I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News, Mark Woodcock. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's lovely to see you. You are working harder than most other candidates because you're running for mayor and you're also running in the North Ward.
Well, that the mayoral part sort of came along, so I saw Wednesday before everything closed on the Thursday that there was no opposition to the mayor, so I thought I'd better put my name in so she doesn't get a free run. And then three more did. So it's become quite a show now. So,
well, it has become quite a show. There's five candidates there. What, four in North Ward?
Yes, four in North Ward. Yep, there's myself and three others. So we actually were at the Bolo yesterday afternoon having a chat, asking the hard questions from the locals. So, yeah, Jerry's run that again. So he does a great job up in the North Fremantle Community Association.
Yes, the North Fremantle Community Association is a force to be reckoned with, isn't it? It's a law unto itself out there, North Fremantle.
Well, it's a different sort of place. They've got different issues, I suppose. They look upon Fremantle as a different thing. It's the same for other suburbs. You know, Sampson considers itself the lost sibling, and North Fremantle, I mean, once they tried to leave Fremantle, right? So they've got their own opinions and their own ways of doing things, and it's a different part of the world. They've got the river, the ocean wrapping around them, and sadly, Stirling Highway and Curtin Ave dividing them from the beach. So
best not to mention that to Ann Former or Jerry McGill. You can see why people get upset about what happened. But why are you running? Tell us.
My first time I ever ran for council was because I saw councillors were just getting putting their $70 or whatever it was at that time and signing up, and they got themselves a job on council. Then I realised those people were deciding what happened in the city with no real debate or, you know, contest of ideas. So that was my very first reason for running, was to make sure there was always a competition and that people had a choice, which I think is, there's not much point in having democracy if you don't have a choice.
Well, you have run before, and what are the issues for you this time?
I don't think the issues for Fremantle over the last decade have really changed much at all. There may be, okay, the new town hall is, or not town hall, the new civic centre in King Square is built and up and running. Sadly, it's still massively over budget and they're still spending more money, another $1.4 million coming up to spend on fit outs to try to attract people in who probably won't pay much rent. So general issues in Fremantle, it's always been, I think, the way the finances have been managed. It's the basics of Fremantle. Our rubbish system, the RRG, is failing. Lost over $5 million in write-offs the last 2 years. It's about to be closed, according to the information we can find, of what information we're allowed to have. I think the council needs to go back and focus on basics. And it was amazing to see Fremantle win the Tourist Award just recently. And I think people miss the fact that the heritage, like the sort of building we're sitting in now, these are the cornerstones of what attract people to Fremantle, be it the prison, be it the roundhouse, the town hall, all the amazing little alleyways and things through the West End, and, you know, the really iconic sort of buildings that we have. I think that's the backbone of Fremantle's success, and council should be putting that forefront into protection and development. And of course we need development, but we need good development, and we need development that's sympathetic to the location where it's being constructed. So I don't think that's changed in Fremantle in decades.
No. Now, in the North Ward, which straddles the river, are there special issues separate from what's happening elsewhere in the municipality?
Well, I think there's a real concern now with the new marina planned in North Fremantle. So I don't think they've actually got a concrete plan of how it's going to look and how it's going to be laid out, but that is definitely on the lips of many people in North Fremantle. I would also say the river ecosystem, the way it runs up, access to it, how people get to engage with it, the limited access in some places. We've had jetties in the past that have been closed off because they weren't safe. And I think, again, that comes down to the basic infrastructure. There's still flooding and drainage issues down by the cricket ground, the footy ground at the bottom by the river.
Fraser Oval.
Yeah, so there's still lots of little issues there. I mean, that's a beautiful old ground. And it's still got those 1970 cyclone fences wrapped around it. It'd be nice to see it, all those things picked up and renovated, go and find a sponsor to put in a nice wooden low picket fence around it and take it back to those old sorts of days that we saw cricket as kids. So I think there's lots of opportunities there. And now, of course, North Fremantle stretches all the way down to Stephen Street in which is almost White Gum Valley. So there's some, you know, issues through there as well. There's, I think in general, our parks are poorly cared for. You can go to so many parks, you can't read the sign, you can't see who it's named after, you can't see all those historical facts. Booyanburra Park's got some great Indigenous information on trees and, you know, local Indigenous things, but you can't read the signs. All the signs have, and some of them have been a mess for, you know, 10 years. So it's not like the council's investing back in our amenity. And I think that should be the forefront of council's job, is to ensure the amenity for the ratepayers. I know my rates over since 2022, they've gone up 20%. And what have I got in those years for my increase in rates? All I've had is services cut. So we've got the, well, they call it the Verge Valet, which has just become a dumping ground for Fremantle, because no one knows what the actual, how it really works. And people see someone throwing something on the road, so everyone comes out and adds their pile of garbage to it. So now we've got a 12-month system of rubbish on verges, as opposed before we had maybe 5 or 6 weeks.
Well, it's an interesting time, isn't it? Local government, they've lost their sort of their planning powers in many respects, but others are suggesting around the town that the council big issue ought to be AUKUS. What do you think about that sort of suggestion?
Well, I think the council needs to focus on local things, and they can bang their pots and lids all they like. No one's going to affect federal government issues. Even the local member here, he's a bit soft on the topic when I see him, you know, called out on it. There's far more important things. I mean, just looking at the amount of potholes that I drove through to get here, just basic things need to be taken care of. And we need to function on the basics. And once we've got the basics working, then I'm all for people getting in and wanting to make themselves a better state, better city, but we need to fix the footpath first.
Well, the potholes are something at the moment, aren't they? It's such a wet winter, they're going to have to get out and fix them all pretty soon.
If you go through the suburbs now, and I can show you some pictures after, when you go through the suburbs, people are going out and putting bricks and paving stones into the holes, so people aren't going through and driving their car down. I drove out this morning to head off to work, and people put witches' hats in the sides of the holes in the suburbs because they are such a threat. And in this sort of weather, with the rain, how does a motorcyclist or a cyclist manage when they are flying along? And let's face it, the street lights aren't terribly flash either, and some parts are quite dark. I mean, on my street, we took 3 to 4 years to get a street light fixed, so it's not safe. And I've called Main Roads myself and reported things, and I've had Main Roads send me a letter afterwards saying, yes, the city promises to look at it. You had one on Carrington Street, and I mean, you could put a football, like a, you know, Aussie Rules football inside and not see the ball sticking above the road surface, and that's pretty shocking.
Well, it certainly is an issue for it. And, but the other issue that I hear a lot about is people not wanting to see the port go south to Westport. Do you have a position about that?
I'd say a long advocate for fixing the traffic issue through there. Port traffic out of the harbour is probably about 12%. If you go back to the 2018, 2017, they were looking at about 12%. So at some point, they're going to have another port. And I would say if we looked around the world and we saw some of the accidents and disasters that have happened in ports, having a secondary port and having two ports functional, how financially viable that is, I don't know. But what do you do when you have a catastrophe in the port you have? So that's something that needs to be considered. And I think having a second container port would be a good idea. But I don't think the government and even the council has been honest to people. They keep saying it's going to move, but that's only containers. All the things that are broken down on the port, all those big tractors, all those cars, all those other bits of equipment that are offloaded, which is still a huge part of the shipping industry, they aren't moving to a mechanised container port. So at some point, someone needs to tell the whole story and not just the story the various versions of people want to hear.
Now, you've been out door knocking, I suppose, in between showers of rain over the weekend. What are you hearing from the electorate as to what the big issues are?
Well, I would say you could go from block to block and the issues change, because people have got things that are close to their heart. And I said the marina is the new marina plan down in North Fremantle. That's a huge one for North Fremantle people. I would say generally across the board, everyone's saying, hey, what about my rates? I pay this money. what do I get for service? At the North Fremantle Community Association Meet the Candidates yesterday, there was a couple of ladies who got up and spoke very strongly about how much money they pay every year, what do they get for it, what they got where they lived in the last city, and what is the city doing? They don't see plans for traffic management. They don't see basic work. I mean, some places you don't even have footpaths to walk on. So you can go through parts of Waikum Valley and there's no footpath. You walk on a verge or a grass or jump off the road when the car comes and it's wet. So there's, I think there's a lot of people are focused on the basics, but you will find people literally from little enclave to enclave will have their own issues depending on what's coming up to affect their backyard.
Now, Mark, you're standing, as I said, at the outset for mayor, and if you weren't elected mayor, you're standing and got your hand up in the North Ward. If elected mayor, do you have a sense of what you'd be trying to achieve? Are there changes there that you would be seeking to effect?
One thing I've looked at quite in depth over the years, and that's the loss of revenue the city's had by selling off its revenue-producing assets. So I think the catalyst that got behind for the asset sales that funded or partly funded King Square, that was a huge impact on the community. And I think when we look back at the parking amount of parking revenue, it probably peaked around 2015. And now you would say if you had kept all the parking assets that you had in 2015, the city would be generating another $5 million in revenue. So where is that $5 million coming from now? That's coming out of our rate increases and other services that we should have that have been cut. So fundamentally, I would say we've got to stop selling off assets. Currently, the Leisure Centre car park at the swimming pool, that's up for sale. So that is something that the city is planning to sell off. So of course, we will have the forever loss of revenue. But that's a service that a lot of people need. I mean, that swimming pool is, I think, well used, maybe not this time of the year, but summer, the place is packed. And I just don't know how council can fathom selling off such an asset. And it's in their long-term financial plan. So I think the sale of assets is something that needs to be looked at and needs to be stopped. And we need to focus on making sure that we've got our revenue coming through so we're not increasing the burden on the ratepayers with rate increases.
I suppose one of the big challenges that you keep hearing around Fremantle is the low revenue base. 30,000 odd people, if the future of Fremantle development at north of the port up to Leighton happened, on some projection to be at least doubling that number, which might help with the revenue. But what other opportunities are there for revenue generation?
I think that's pretty, you can't make Fremantle bigger. Of course, you can put more people in and have more rates, but then you need to provide more services. And I don't think the city's very adept at managing those services well. We can just see what we're happening with rubbish at the moment. What will we do with an extra 30,000 people's garbage? Where would that go? What's the plan for that? They can't keep up with road maintenance at the moment, and that's with the current amount of people. Imagine doubling the population of Fremantle, putting it into a third of the space, and then seeing how the roads manage. So I think we need to increase the size of Fremantle, but we need to make sure that all the basic infrastructure is in place. We've got problems with, and that these aren't problems for the council, but we've got a problem with hospitals, we've got a problem with ambulances. Do we have enough school space? If we put in an extra 30,000 people, where do they go to school? What's their hospital? Who picks up their rubbish? Where do all those services come from? So I think council needs to really focus on the basics. And we've just had a new bridge given to us by the state government. It's in construction now. But that bridge doesn't actually change the flow of traffic from 1920. It's still got the same bottleneck on Curtin Avenue. It's got actually the road has been cut by half on Ord Street. That used to be a two-lane road both ways, and now we're down to a single. So all we've got is a $400 million concrete bridge and no better traffic flow, and people are talking about 30,000 to 40,000 people in the Leighton precinct. So that's quite incredible when you think of that whole port area. And again, I don't think people have been told the truth about how the port operation will morph out once a new container port is built. And that could still be 20 years. I believe the port is just over 50% capacity currently. I go to the Inner Harbour liaison meetings quite regularly, and they're saying, you know, well less than 60% capacity for the port. So how soon will it move? That's going to be interesting.
Well, neither of us have mentioned the removal of the old traffic bridge and the closure of any access across there from the end of this year for 12 months. It's going to be sort of a version of mayhem.
Well, the government's promising us 12 months. I'd like to find a government infrastructure plan that came anywhere close to not doubling in time. So if it's 12 months, I would say we were lucky, but it's going to be a terrible thing. And this is where the council needs to be very proactive. We don't need people being told to avoid Fremantle, because that would be, you know, catastrophic to local businesses. Businesses struggle enough as it is. So this is something that needs to be managed, and it's going to be something through main roads, things to do with the port. How does the port manage trucks and shipping? Even 12% coming out onto the bridge when you've cut your bridge service by 50% and driven everyone to one place. I think 6-7 weeks ago they had a semi jackknifed in the intersection, and that closed down the bridge for hours. So what are we going to do with the rollover? How is that going to be maintained? Main Roads has put special rules out now for how trucks are towed. Now there's special permits required. And I was listening to Talkback Radio the other day, and they were talking about the towies waiting up to 12 hours to get a permit to move a heavy vehicle. So imagine trying to put that into a place when that's 30% of traffic through the metropolitan area, north and south, that could be closed down for who knows how long.
Well, all those sort of happy days are ahead of us. We're coming towards the end of this podcast discussion, Mark, and so coming back to the beginning of it, you're out there, and people just want to hear your final pitch before Election Day. So how do you sort of sum up your campaign in a few dot points?
Well, I think I'm a sort of very common sense focused person on the basics of things, and what I do for professional work now is basically I solve companies' problems in the hospitality area. I help them control costs. I help them with better systems to make their operations more efficient. And I think that's what I bring to council, is a real practical ability to look at problems. I've worked in restaurants that have had 50 people, and then I was corporate chef in Norwegian Cruise Lines in America for 6 years. And my food cost budget there was $92 million for the year. So I know how to manage money and to manage people, because we had thousands of staff who also worked in that. So I think I bring a wide range of skills, and I think I'm quite open, honest and direct. And if people ask me a question, they'll get a fairly direct answer from me. They may not like that, but I think I'm always fairly honest with the situation. So I think there's too many things that go through council where councillors aren't asking any questions, let alone the right questions. And that's something that needs to change at council. Is you can go and hear a dozen councillors talk on a subject, and they all have different opinions, but they all vote the same way. So what does that tell you?
Mark Woodcock, thank you very much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you for your time.